Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud, Avodah Zarah Samach Beis, Avodah Zarah 62a, pagination is 123. We have the privilege of starting the fifth chapter of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah begins, Hasochar es hapoel laso simo b'yayin nesech. An idol worshipper hires a Jew to work with yayin nesech, with this forbidden wine that was used for libations in idol worship. Secharo asur, the amount that he gets paid, is forbidden. It's money that was generated from the yayin nesach, from the forbidden wine. And that wage is also going to be forbidden. There's going to be an intriguing case coming up where the Jew is being hired to destroy the yayin nesach, and therefore his wage is coming from the yayin nesach existing, but he's doing to this yayin nesach exactly what we would want. Let this idol worship libation be done away with. In that case, would his wage be permitted or not? But that's coming up. The presentation of the Mishnah is regarding wage. Wage is a very direct transaction from the product. There are going to be other types of benefit that a person could receive, and those will also be discussed. Let's move on to Amud Beis, and we have a story which will reveal some of the severity with which Chazal considered the money generated by this idol worship libation. Let's look at Amud Beis. We're about a quarter of the way down. The first word on the line is Shema, and then we begin. De'ahu Gavra, there was a person, De'ogar Arbe Listam Yenon. He rented out his ship for them, this non-Jew idol worship company, to transport forbidden wine. Yavalochite be'igra, and they gave him wheat as his rental payment for the ship. He now wants to know what is the status of this wheat. Now, whether he knew at the time that he rented it, it was going to be used for this non-kosher wine transport or not. But at this point, he has a question on the wheat. Let's see how this Gemara handles it. Also, l'kamei de Rav Chisda, he came in front of Rav Chisda, Amalei told him, Zilka linhu, go burn the wheat, v'kavrinhu be'kivri, and bury it in a cemetery. Bury the ash, bury the leftovers in a cemetery. Clearly, Rav Chisda is ruling that this wage of wheat in exchange for the services rendered for the forbidden wine is going to be forbidden as well. And the wheat has to be done away with. He wants them to burn it and bury it in a cemetery. And we really have to take to heart what he's saying, because that's quite bold of a ruling. We're going to wonder, does it really have to be burnt? And number two, even if it has to be burnt, when you bury it, you have to bury it in a cemetery. Why? What's going on here that's such a big concern? And the Gemara therefore challenges the ruling. V'leimole, why didn't he tell him? Badrinhu, simply scatter it. Take the wheat and scatter it. Don't use it yourself. And we indeed have such a concept by Chametz of Pesach, even though we recommend burning it, but there's something called Pora Lo Ruach. You crumble it and throw it up to the wind, and the wind distributes it, and it's scattered. And the Gemara here answers, Asu b'hu lideik takolo. We're worried that somebody will gather these wheat kernels and will benefit from them. They'll come to a stumbling block as a result without realizing that these kernels are the exchange of forbidden things, and they're likewise forbidden, and the person won't know it, and they will inadvertently benefit from it, which is apparently a big problem, and therefore that wasn't sufficient means, a method of disposal. Why indeed is it a proper method of disposal by chametz? According to one approach, you can crumble it and put it to the wind. And it could be that there's simply a logistical difference over here. When you crumble bread, which is your typical chametz, indeed, you crumble it enough, the wind will take it, it'll get scattered, and it's done away with. Over here, we're dealing with kernels of wheat, and that's not going to be distributed by the wind. It's not going to happen. And therefore, just logistically, there's a big difference, and that's why over here it was more strict. We'll try to re-examine this in a few moments. The Gemara continues, V'liklinhu v'lavadrinhu. Why didn't he allow him to burn it and then to scatter it? Why does it have to go into the cemetery to be buried? And the Gemara answers, Dilma mizavli behu. We're worried if you just scatter it, people will end up using it as fertilizer. It'll decompose. It'll be used as fertilizer. This is related to the discussion of a compost heap. A person has something that's forbidden to benefit from, let's say Truma and Meiser that became Tamei, that he has to dispose of it. Other things, Arla, even Chametz, different things. A person says, I'd rather throw it into the compost heap and not be so wasteful. Why am I breaking it up and destroying it? Let it decompose and I'll use it as fertilizer. And if the prohibition is a true benefit prohibition, a prohibition against benefit, then we have this issue, Dilma mezavli behu, you're not allowed to use it for fertilizer, and putting it into the compost heap is basically using it for fertilizer. The Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea Kuflamid Gimel Sif Aleph, together with the Taz, Sifkatan Beis, explained that this is what that ruling was that Rav Chisda gave. It has to be burnt so that it will not be recovered by anybody, and it has to be buried in the Beis HaKvaros as well. If we were to simply bury it in the Beis HaKvaros in the cemetery, so someone might come by, discover it, intact wheat, and think that maybe some thief put it there for later retrieval. And that's going to be a problem of takala, of creating an obstacle for people, so you can't just bury it even in the cemetery. Once you burnt it, so then it's ash. Why can't you simply bury the ash wherever it is? The answer is because that ash is usable on some level. Originally, different things that a person might use ash for, some sort of soap, whatever. And even beyond that, eventually it decomposes and becomes part of the earth, and at that point, it's been so composted that you could actually plant in it, and you're benefiting from it. The Taz makes reference to the laws of Kisui Hadam, where the Shulchan Aruch Simen Chaf Ches Sif Chaf Gimel indicates that the ash itself is not something that would be plantable. It's not matzmiach. It's not considered something for Kisui Hadam, for covering the blood of the bird, where you have an obligation to cover the blood with dirt. The ash is not going to qualify as far as matzmiach. It only qualifies because it is called dirt in the context of halacha. So we see that it's not matzmiach. That's the understanding on the ash itself. And we understand the difference between composting and ash. Composting takes the energies and through bacteria or whatever, it revitalizes it. Ash is death. Ash is you're burning it. So there certainly are factors that can join once it's composted, but initially when it's ash, it's not going to cause growth. And therefore, the ruling over here was that it has to be burnt and it should be buried in a cemetery, because once it's in a cemetery, people don't start planting in a cemetery, people don't start digging to find things in the cemetery. We're not worried that they're going to go after the decomposed matter to benefit from it. But apparently he was ruling that it is indeed forbidden. Circling back to the question of Chametz on Pesach, we're not so strict. To burn it and to bury it in a cemetery, what's the concern over here that doesn't exist by Chametz on Pesach? And the answer presumably is, number one, that once it's burnt, so dealing with Chametz She'over Alav HaPesach, for example, once Pesach has passed, you're dealing with a Derabbanan, and the concept of Derabbanan, that even other people shouldn't benefit from it, is only because we're worried of harama, that a person will trick and he'll manipulate ways to benefit from the Chametz. But at this point, if we tell him he's got to scatter it, and it can't be traceable to him, there reaches a point where the takana derabbanan was presumably no longer considered necessary to impose, and this lighter level of disposal is going to be sufficient for Chametz on Pesach, whereas it was not in our Gemara considered sufficient, where it's intrinsically viewed as a forbidden thing. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.